Deerhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road. Shifting Gears has you covered from your weekend cruiser to your daily commuter. And now let's join Jimmy Purdy on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com.
Good morning and welcome in. Thanks for tuning in. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. That's 805-238-KPRL. You can also text if you'd like, 805-238-5775. I don't know what you're going to text me, but you can do that. That's fine. If you have something you want me to announce, maybe an event going on, we're getting into the swing of car show season, as I like to call it. All the events. It's going to be back to back to back before you know it's wintertime. So if you want to squeeze one of your events in, you can always text it in and I will announce it. I love the community events. That's what it's about. We had our very first of the year Templeton Cruise Night last night. Unsanctioned Templeton Cruise Night, I guess you'd call it. It was a great turnout. Streets were packed. Everybody was mild. Went to McPhee's. Haven't been there in a while. That was a... I always forget about the good local spots, you know? Always on the lookout for the new shiny object. You know, you always kind of forget about the good old fashioned. So that was a good night. Got the truck out. Everyone's cruising. If you didn't know, that's Templeton, Atascadero, Paso, Santa Margarita, and then San Miguel is the fifth Friday. They also do rotations on Saturday nights as well as in Napomo in the South County. So if you're looking for something to do on the weekend, you can do that. But all the cruises take place after 5, and there's no timeline. Just show up whenever you like. Usually till the sun goes down and a couple hours after. But so next Friday, it'll be in Atascadero. Usually at the Kmart parking lot, it's more of a car show than a cruise. But we usually fill up that parking lot. It's a great time. Same with Paso. It's more of a show than a cruise. My favorites are Templeton and Santa Margarita because it's a good rural place. Not rural, but it's just the old timey. You know, it's hard to find somewhere that you can shut the entire street down and someone can play taps on their trumpet in the middle of the street and everyone just stops. That's cool. That's a pretty cool thing. Don't want to lose that. All right, with that being said, let's get in some weather before we get to the rest of the show. Also, phone lines are open, so if you have any calls about your vehicle, I'm here for the next hour to help you as much as I can. If you got any questions about your vehicle, about the industry in general, give you my best advice. Today, high of 84, tomorrow 85. So what an awesome Easter weekend we have in store. We do have a little bit of clouds moving in Sunday into Monday. Just partly cloudy, though. Mostly sunny. Still don't know what the difference between those are, but got a little clouds coming in. 80 Monday, 83 Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday is starting to cool off a little bit until we get into next weekend where we do look like we have some AM showers coming in. And then Sunday will be 72 for Mallory's birthday. Very nice. Thanks for that rain. We needed it. It always works out that way, doesn't it? We'll see if that clears out. We had some rain in the forecast last weekend, and it did get a little bit of clouds last week, but no real rain. But we could use a little bit more before we get into the summertime. I'll say that. What do they say? April showers bring May flowers, so we can always use some more of those. Speaking of, if you're looking at getting out and about, Yosemite has got a super bloom going on. They had a pretty good snowpack, so if you're looking for somewhere to get to. Same with Death Valley. They got a good flower show going on out there. I think I talked about that the last couple weeks ago, but fun little things to go out and check out in the outside the area. If you are looking for stuff to do today, well, you're in luck, because the Barrel House has the 8th annual Motorama show right now, today. Cars are rolling in as of about 10 minutes ago. I will be rolling in about 45 minutes as soon as I get out of here. I'm taking the truck and entering that. That show goes on all day today, so it's till 6 o'clock. Don't be in a hurry to get there because the real fun probably starts after noon when all the bands show up and the food trucks show up. But it is from technically 11 to 6. So all day. Something for you to go hang out. They usually pack that show too. So I know the last couple years they shut down the streets. They're not going to shut down the street this year. So still good luck finding parking. But they do have that good little parking lot up on the right before you turn the left down the street there. So anyway, put that on your calendar if you're looking for something to do today. Tons of fun things to be doing there and cars. And if you see my truck, vote for it. Sway the votes. What else we got going on today? If you're not looking for that, Avila Valley Barn also has an Easter egg hunt going on, which is great. And that's today. Dinosaur Caves Park has the Pismo Beach Easter egg extravaganza. That's from 10 to 1. Trinity in San Luis has the community egg hunt and games at the Islay Hill Park. The Slow Ranch, which is a cool little spot. I think that was a couple days ago, so check on that one. But I believe they have an Easter egg hunt with a bounce house, petting zoo, all kinds of fun stuff going on. South County going south, the Easter egg hunt in Aurora Grande at the Varian Equestrian Center. And then Cambria Pines Lodge tomorrow morning has a brunch with the Easter Bunny, so you can go meet the Easter Bunny there. So if you're looking for something to do in the area, that's some of the hot tickets. If you know of anything going on, feel free to call in or text in and announce your events. All right, moving on. What else do we have in the news today? You know, I always like to talk about the Easter eggs in vehicles every Easter. I think it's interesting. The different things the manufacturers kind of add in to cars. That's what they mean by Easter eggs. So like the little, they call them Easter eggs for lack of better words, right? Fun little nuances that you wouldn't notice. The Jeep Renegade has one where you find like a little spider in the back cargo compartment. It's like molded into the plastic. It's fun to look up your vehicle and see if there's anything that's been put in there that you wouldn't know. The Chrysler 200, they put like the cityscape in the floor mats. So it looks like, you're like, what is that? You kind of look at it, you're like, oh, that's an interesting little thing. One of my favorites, personal favorites, is the Tesla Model X. Has a Christmas light show. So you hit the button on the remote and the gull wing doors open up and all the lights have this display and this Christmas light display that goes on. You spend a lot of time with vehicles, like when I'm at the shop and you go through a lot of data and you're looking in the computers and you're going through owner's manuals and service information and you're like, what is that function? That has nothing to do with anything. And it's like, you realize it's just for fun. It's like, well, that's kind of nice, I guess. It serves absolutely no purpose other than it's kind of cool. And that's kind of nice sometimes. It's kind of a break in the monotony, right? Like to find something cool. The Ford GT, if you ever could see one of those, they have anniversary headlights. So they have a little, like 100th anniversary embedded into the actual headlight, only on the left side. It says 100. And, you know, some of these are gone back years where it makes the car super desirable and really rare where you can see what the manufacturers added into these cars, and they only did it, you know, it's kind of what makes them a little bit special. If you didn't know, on that note, talking about embedded numbers on lights, I know this is kind of off topic, but if you're ever wondering what year an older vehicle is, like pre-70s, if you look on the taillight, they always stamped the number, the two-digit number, if it was 68, 1968, it'll say 68 or 69 or 70, on the taillight house, on the taillight plastic cover. Just a little tip. So if you had a car show and you're wondering what year that car is, if you look at the taillights, as long as they've not been modified, of course, but molded into that plastic lens will actually show you the year that the car is. Now, it's not always perfect, right? Because take, for instance, like the Gen 2 Nova, the 68 to 72, you can run the 72 taillights in a 68 or a 68 into a 72. So it's not perfect, but it'll get you pretty close. At least it gets you in that generation of that car, right? A fun little tip there. So anyways, fun little Easter eggs that I think that are cool when you're looking through vehicles and you're wondering, man, why did they do that in cars? They just did it for fun. Maybe you found one on your vehicle and you're like, why does that look like that? And it's like, oh, it might have been put in on purpose. Kind of cool. The Ram T-Rex, I think, remember? Yeah, they have a little a T-Rex like in the window, like part of the... Looks like it's part of the defroster ring. It's sitting on the bottom corner. It looks like a little running T-Rex. I've seen that one too. That's kind of fun, right? Good morning, you're on Gearhead Radio.
Hey, Jimmy, how's it going there?
It's good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Say, you know all the things that you advertise that are going on in other areas of the county?
Yeah.
Well, I hope all those people don't go out to all those places and spend all their money out of this area, because there won't be any money in this area. I think those people ought to just advertise their own stuff in their own areas, and you just advertise our stuff just locally and help our local people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we're all local, right? We all commute, so... Like half our staff comes from South County, so it's we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, I just can't see advertising in other areas and have everybody take their money somewhere else. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all in this thing together. Yeah, I got to jump on a break. I'm right up against a break. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
Bye. We'll be right back.
Long for the good old County Board of Supervisors days, when districts weren't gerrymandered to promote a socialist agenda, when supervisors who lived over the water basin actually voted on the water issues, when our public safety in the county took priority over overpriced consultants and mental health for the homeless. Come to Slo County Tea Party meeting Monday, 6 p.m. April 6th, and meet our future District 4 Supervisor, Adam Verdin. Adam will help right the ship and bring sanity back to Slo County. Come early to meet and support Adam.
Red Scooter Deli on 6th Street has a patio that you need to check out. Enjoy your favorite Red Scooter breakfast or lunch on the cozy heated patio. Order in person or online. Check out Red Scooter's Grab and Go stock daily with wide selection. Red Scooter Deli serving you fresh food for over 16 years. Red Scooter Deli is at 711 6th Street next to the Pet Center with tons of parking. Go to redscooterdeli.com, open 6:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. Use promo code KPRL for a $5 discount.
The Estrella Warbirds Museum and Woodland Auto Display is open with new cars to see and so much wonderful history and fun. Aviation artifacts and memorabilia, and the flight simulator is so realistic and entertaining for all. The Estrella Warbirds and Woodland Auto Display on Dry Creek Road in Pass Robles off of Airport Road. Open Thursday through Sunday, 10 to 4. John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, locally owned and operated for over 20 years. Combination of construction, whether it's new construction, remodel, and concrete work, along with pest control, including termites and bird control, and more. Get it done the right way and on time. John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, the one call that does it all. Give John a call, 466-8667.
Heater not helping much? Call Hutch. Hutch Heating and Air in Atascadero. Just like changing the oil in your car, changing the filter in your heating and air conditioning system will make it last longer and cost less to operate, which means more time in between needing a service technician, like me, Jared. But when you do, please remember us. Heater not helping much? Call Hutch. Hutch Heating and Air in Atascadero. Call us at 466-8199 and on the web at hutchhvac@yahoo.com.
CNC Tree Service, locally owned by Randall and Shannon Clegg for 38 years. Tree removal, trimming, cabling, corrective pruning, stump grinding, brush and road clearance. They have the equipment for any residential or commercial job. If you want instant shade with mature trees, they have the only spade truck in the area to plant or move your large trees. CNC has moved oaks, manzanita, olives, palms, pepper, and various others. Licensed and insured, member of the International Society of Arboriculture. Call 805-434-0914.
And welcome back. You are tuned into Gearhead Radio on AM 1230 KPRL. Appreciate you being here. This is Jimmy Purdy. I'm your host of Gearhead Radio. I'm also the owner and technician at Shifting Gears Auto Repair, located at 1621 North River Road in Paso Robles, taking care of all your vehicle maintenance and repair needs. If you have any questions or anything that you want to bring up, phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. That's the same number to text as well. And we did get a text in here over the break. Templeton, if you're looking for somewhere local to go, Templeton Library Sale and Easter Egg Hunt for Kids is also today. Lots of stuff to get out and about. But I'm assuming the phones are going to be a little quiet today because everyone's out and about. But maybe you're driving around, you got the radio on. Hopefully it's tuned into AM 1230, as it should be, if you're in the North County. And if it is, you made the right choice. Let's see what I did there. That was good, huh? Anyway, back to the news and stuff. So let's shift gears and talk a little bit more about Leno's Law. I kind of ended last week's show with that, the updates on that. And I think it's important. We do have a classic car division at the shop, so we do a lot of older cars. We have quite the wait list going on. We try to get to them all, but we only have one and a half technicians that we can that we use for that division. So, and by half, I mean that's me, and it's more of like a quarter of a person. So we try to get through the list as fast as we can, but it's got to be done right the first time. So we do have that we offer. So talking about Leno's Law here. Now, this is a revised 35-year rolling smog exemption bill that makes key changes from the version that stalled. So if you've been paying attention, Jay Leno has been rolling out a legislation to change the smog check program a little bit for the older vehicles. California's modern smog check program dates back to the 1980s. Technically 1965 is when the first PCV valve was installed and technically made that an emissions controlled vehicle. So if you've ever tried to order something into California from, say, Summit Racing or JEGS or ATEC or whatever, you have to mark the little box that it's either for off-road purposes or the vehicle that you are ordering for is for 1964 or older. But with this in particular, now, over the decades, updates imposed biannual emissions inspections of all 1976 and newer vehicles. That's the cutoff. 1975 is the cutoff. 1976 and newer vehicles must be smog. Now, that's requiring tailpipe or onboard diagnostics testings before the registration renewal. Now, vehicles older than 1976 are generally exempt from that biannual smog check process. Now, this cutoff has remained frozen, creating a longstanding tension between regulatory goals and the collector car or hot rod community. Now, the push to modernize this framework emerged in early 2024 with the Senate Bill 712. It introduced to create a 35-year rolling smog exemption instead of a permanent 1975 cutoff. Vehicles would gradually age out of the smog inspection requirements once they reach 35 years old, aligning California more closely with other states. This proposal quickly earned the nickname Leno's Law, thanks to the public support from Jay Leno. Now, the SB 712 moved through early community hearings and garnered enthusiasm from hobbyists and parts of the collector car industry. At the same time, environmental groups and fiscal communities raised concerns about emissions impact and regulatory precedent. Amendments were proposed that would have narrowed the eligibility, including additional document and collector vehicle definitions. Now, by mid-2024, SB 712 stalled in community and ultimately failed to advance before the legislative deadline. So there's your update of what happened. Now, of course, just because you fail doesn't mean you give up, right? Your first no is when the sale starts. That's how it goes, right? So, of course, you're going to get told no the first time. You got to keep pushing. Now, a few things to kind of clarify on this stuff. I think it makes the most amount of sense, right? We're talking vehicles that are getting, that's what they call 25 years a collector car. That's a 2001. It's like think about that for a second. A 25-year-old vehicle is no longer, right, like a 1970s, 1980s car. That's a 2001 vehicle. So when you talk about 1976, the car's been around for a very long time, and there's probably not a lot left on the road. I mean, I hope there's getting more. I hope the restoration industry is putting them back on the road. But I can almost guarantee that if that vehicle at that age, it needs major restoration. There's maybe 1%, a half a percent of those cars that are maybe original, right? Like to the point where they're like, that's how they roll off the factory floor. They're out there. I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying it's a very small percentage. So the other percentages, the majority, have been majorly overhauled, restored. And I can guarantee that those restored vehicles are running much cleaner than they ever did in the 60s or 70s or 80s. Right? Now, the problem is you get to 1980, those vehicles do not run very efficient at all. They take a lot of work to get to pass smog. Anybody that does like a the four gas analyzer, the tailpipe emission smog testing can attest to that. They take a lot of work. They always need stuff. They don't run right. I think 2 years is too long. It's like every 6 months you're having to adjust it. It's kind of like if you ever had to mess with points in a distributor, it's like it seemed like every 6 months you had to re-gap the points in the distributor or replace them. And again, that's degradation. Like they're wearing out over time. So it doesn't get to it's not like the points in the distributor work fantastic and everything's working great and then one day they stop. They start wearing out over time, and that means you start suffering, well, fuel economy for one, but emissions for two, and then a lack of power. To the point where it's like, now it won't start well anymore. You can tell it's misfiring. It's okay, now I'll replace them. And that whole time, you're just, I mean, if you're talking about emissions, like that's bad for the environment. So my point is, taking those cars and being able to retrofit them with a new, more modern engine is technically, federally illegal because you are tampering with a federally regulated emissions component or device. You're removing the engine that was installed originally that passed all the strict, in quotes, emission standards, and you're putting another engine in that did not for that vehicle. But I know, and you know, that engine runs way cleaner and way more efficient than the one that came with it. So my point is to have a 35 roller. I mean, I don't know why this doesn't make more sense to more people, right? That takes a vehicle that's in the 19, what is that, someone can do the math. Let's say it's in the 90s, right? From those cars back, we're not going to worry about smog anymore. And they think that it's like the thought of, we're just going to take these cars now and we're just going to run them into the ground, right? That's like, this is what they think is going to happen. Oh, without our mandated smog inspection program, these people are just going to let these cars run into the ground and they're going to just be, no, we're going to get rid of the garbage that's under the hood and put something modern in it that's like turnkey that I don't have to mess with. like that's what we all want. We want more power and we want more reliability, and that's what's going to happen. I mean, that's the car community. Yeah, there's the outliers that are just going to drive a car into the ground, and just unless the gas light comes on the dash, they're not worried about any other lights coming on the dash, and that's fine. It's a small majority. Everybody else is going to take these cars, restore them, make them more modern, and make them more efficient. That's what's truly going to happen. That's the reality. Because if a vehicle in the 1980s, say you have a 1983 whatever, and you need a carburetor for it, they don't make that anymore. So now you're having to band-aid this thing and patch this thing and barely get it to function so you can just get it past smog. And you're probably going home and just swapping out something else onto it in the meantime, right? And you just keep this old original carburetor on the shelf just for smog. I'm not saying that's what you should do, but it's like, that's the reality. Like, that's like what you're forcing people to do. Like, what do you want me to do? Just junk the car? I'm not junking the car. And that's the ultimate goal. It's like they want everything junked, everything thrown away, and then you just go buy something brand new. Maybe not. But that's what it feels like. So moving on, with Leno's Law here. Now, this was not an isolated attempt. Over the past decade, enthusiasts and industry groups like SEMA have repeatedly sought to expand the smog exemption to a rolling system. The frustration has been consistent. California's regulations are strict, and older collector vehicles are subject to perpetual inspections unless legislative change occurs. Now, the concept has returned as Senate Bill 1392, and it retains the same premise as the original, a 35-year rolling exemption that allows qualifying vehicles to age out of the smog inspections once they cross the threshold. Supporters argue that these vehicles account for a tiny fraction of the total miles traveled and are typically maintained and driven sparingly. Right up against the break here. When I get back, we'll get a little bit more about this. And if you have any questions along the way, 805-238-5775. Give me a call after the break.
Ace Auto Care, 1 mile east of El Camino on the corner of Traffic Way and Via, Atascadero.
I'm Jack Callahan, still searching for one of two U.S. military personnel who were aboard an F-15 fighter jet that was shot down over Iran. Fox's Jennifer Griffin at the Pentagon.
The U.S. F-15E was shot down late Thursday night before the sun rose on Friday in Iran. The pilot was rescued, but an urgent search continues for the weapons system officer.
The rescued pilot now being treated for his injuries. An A-10 Warthog aircraft reportedly crashed near the Strait of Hormuz. Its pilot rescued. President Trump proposes boosting defense spending to $1.5 trillion in his 2027 budget proposal.
Part of the spending increase would be offset with cuts to health, housing, and education agencies. The administration says those can be done by eliminating woke, wasteful, and weaponized programs.
Fox's Jared Halperin. America is listening to Fox News.
Serving San Luis Obispo County for your weed abatement needs, your best bet is Ken Silva. From half acre to 25 acres. Integrity, hard work, and quality service. Mowing accomplished with tractor and flail mower, which is cost effective and more efficient. Clean it and cut it with Ken Silva. Free estimates. Call or text Ken Silva, 805-459-6011.
Are you curious what your valuables are worth? Plan to go to Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry May 19th through the 21st for the estate buying event. Speak with the specialists who will give your items a free, no obligation offer. They will be buying gold and silver jewelry, diamonds, coins and currency, artwork, antiques, military memorabilia, and more. Get paid for your unused valuables. For more info, call Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry at 805-238-2231 or visit bellajewel.com.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs. Just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Hi, this is Desi.
This is Melissa.
This is Katrina. Welcome back to your Eagle Energy 76 Country Store.
You already know that we have more than just fuel. We have what fuels you. When you fill up that car or truck of yours with 10 gallons or more, you get your choice of a refreshing fountain drink, a fresh brewed iced tea, or coffee.
Each and any size that we offer for free. Just show us your receipt.
We have an amazing amount of food in our deli that's more than just snacks.
Like our delicious smash bowl. That's mashed potatoes, corn, chicken, and cheddar cheese covered in gravy.
Call ahead for anything in the deli and we will have it ready for pickup.
We also offer a complete family meal that you can call in and pre-order or just stop on by.
The family meal includes your choice of 12 pieces of battered fried chicken, 20 fresh mojo potatoes,
and 6 biscuits, all for only $25. Just head to the Eagle Energy Country Store on the corner of Highway 46 East and Golden Hill Road in Paso Robles.
The Eagle Energy Country Store is now open on Saturdays from 10 to 5, serving delicious fresh chicken.
See you at the country store.
We'll see you at the country store.
You are tuned in to Gearhead Radio on AM 1230. Thanks for tuning in. If you this is your first time in, welcome. My name is Jimmy Purdy. I'm your host. I come on every Saturday from 9 to 10 to bring you the latest in the auto industry. And if you have any questions or concerns about your vehicle, I am an ASC certified master technician of 15 years. So I know that I don't know everything at this point in time, but I can do my best to give you some advice, help you out, or at least point you in the right direction. I've been in the community for my whole life. Graduated high school here. And this is just part of trying to do my part to give back to the community that's helped supported our business for the last 10 years. Yeah, it's been 10 years. This is going on our 10th year in business here in Paso Robles. So, and that's thanks to all of you. So appreciate that. If you ever need something with your vehicle, you're more than welcome to stop by the shop at any time for a no-cost inspection. 1621 North River Road here in Paso Robles, right behind Viaborg Sand and Gravel. Can't miss us on the left there. If not, you can check us out online, shiftinggears805.com, and book your appointment there. So before the break, we're talking about Leno's Law. If you're not familiar with that, that is about changing the emissions program for the older vehicles. Now, to get back into it, the concept has returned with Senate Bill 1392, and it retains the same premise as the original, a 35-year rolling exemption that allows qualifying vehicles to age out of smog inspections once they cross the threshold. Now, the supporters argue that these vehicles account for a tiny fraction of a total of the total miles traveled and are typically maintained and driven sparingly, whereas the SB 1392 differs is in its structure, sponsorship, and strategic framing. The new bill is created to address previous objections. It's a lot less ambiguous, and eligibility criteria are centered on limited use, historical preservation, and collector stewardship. SB 1392 basically enters committee review with all of the prior concerns addressed. The economic and cultural agreements arguments are also emphasized. Now, California's restoration shops, aftermarket parts manufacturers, auction houses, and events generate significant revenue in tourism. SB 1392 highlights the ecosystem, presenting exemption as recognition of the industry's footprint, not merely the regulatory relief. So it's critical to note that what SB 1392 does not do, contrary to the wishful hoping that every gearhead in the state is doing, it doesn't eliminate emission standards for newer vehicles or create a loophole for modified late model cars. Seriously, at this juncture, the ultimate California car guy fantasy is never going to become a reality. The exemption applies strictly to age, creating a predictable rolling structure rather than a freezing a 1976 cutoff. So for owners of late 1980s and early 1990s vehicles, this is significant. Under the current law, their cars remain subject to inspection indefinitely. Now, under the SB 1392, they would qualify once 35 years old. Now, this does change a lot, and I mean, it's really all for the benefit, right? There's a lot of stuff there for the modern age, muscle car era. Right. The new generation, I think they appreciate the older cars, but they do want something that their parents or grandparents didn't have. Right. And I can appreciate that. The BMW market's a big one, the Honda market, you know, some of the Toyotas even. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. That's their generation that they want to be able to modify and quote unquote hot rod. Right. And you're kind of taking that from them to allow them to do that. Not everyone can just go get a 1960s vehicle, especially considering most of the rollers now are like $5,000 to $6,000. When I call it a roller, it's just rolls, right? There's no engine, no transmission, no interior. It's been sitting, and it's at this point in time, you know, 60, 70 years old. It needs a full restoration, right? Unless you get something that's in good shape, then you're spending 40,000 to 50,000. We all have seen what the market on these older cars have done. It's crazy how expensive they are. And you're kind of eliminating that new generation to get into the auto industry. And in this point in time with the blue collar trade, working with your hands, whether you want to be a plumber, HVAC technician, you know, framer, whatever, automotive is one of the biggest gaps in the labor that we have right now that we're going to need. because cars aren't going anywhere. Yeah, they're changing, but we still need hands to fix them. With the advent of AI, and I know I'm kind of going off topic a little bit here, but with AI and everything else going on, that's the only thing that creates the job growth that we need, right? The AI is never going to install plumbing in your house. It's never going to install electrical in your house. It's never going to change the tire on your car. It just, I mean, there's a machine that they make that does the tire almost autonomously. Like, we watch this machine, but you still have to have someone take the wheel off the vehicle and put it on the machine. That's, there's a lot of robotics going on that's putting cars together, but to still to diagnose it and to fix it. If you've ever tried to ChatGPT your way out of maybe your check engine light on your vehicle and you want to figure out how to fix it, just be careful with that. I use it all the time because I just try to stay up with time and see how close it gets and see how smart it's getting. And it's close, but it misses some of the critical thinking that only a human can do. Because you're there with it and you can use your common sense. I think that's what's missing with AI is the human common sense aspect. But it does point you in the right direction. It does give you some good information. But, with AI, it's really interesting because you can ask it something, it'll give you an answer, and then you can call out that answer. Like, that's actually not correct. That's not right at all. And then it says, oh, you're right, I'm glad you noticed that. Or it'll say something like that. Good point. That's a good point that you brought up, and I'm glad you corrected that. Let me correct my statement. What? That was, you knew it was wrong then. It's very interesting, but kind of going off topic there a little bit. So going back to the Senate Bill 1392 here. So once you're 35 years old, you get past that. So the debate extends beyond the tailpipe numbers. It's about how California defines automotive heritage with a strict regulatory environment. So can the state differentiate between daily drivers and carefully preserved, occasionally driven collector vehicles? So the SB 712 proved that the enthusiasm alone isn't going to cut it. Committee analysts, the fiscal impact and the political optics ultimately determine outcomes in California government. SB 1392 is a more calculated approach where the core idea remains intact, but the strategy is refined. So once again, we're going to see how this persistent plays out for the California's car culture and with Jay Leno and the Leno's Law. It's just interesting what the motive behind not wanting to do that is. I think it's removing a lot of the vehicles off the road. If you've tried to find parts and stuff for an older vehicle, meaning like 80s and the 90s, it's becoming a challenge. There's not a lot of aftermarket parts left available for them. And for good reason, if you're an aftermarket part supplier, and we're in 2026 now, do you focus on continuing to make parts for cars that are beginning to be 40 years old? You know, and there is a niche market, and that niche market is doing great when you're talking about 1960s, 1970s. But a lot of those parts are kind of the same. If you've ever worked on a Chevy 350, you know that Chevy 350 is the same engine. It's the same. So all the parts, it doesn't matter if it's in a Nova, Camaro, what it's in, it's the same. Right? Same with the 327. I mean, it's just the same stuff. So you don't have to like make a very specific part for that one specific car. The issue that I've seen in the industry, when it got into the 80s, everything is very, very specific. There wasn't a lot of changeover. And I've talked a lot about how different transmissions are used in the same vehicle. Say like the GM, the 5L40, which is a GM transmission, and the 4L30. That was used, like, one was used in the BMW, but it was also a GM transmission. And the 4L30 was used in the Isuzu. It was used in some of the GM cars. You can get in a Toyota with the A340. That was used in the Jeep, and it was used in the Toyota. There's a lot of interchange going on. The Allison transmission, that's just an Allison, and you can put that in pretty much anything. It's kind of a standalone unit. You can even get to diesels. You talk about the Cummins engine. The Cummins was built for a generator. Like, that was a generator engine, and that was built by Cummins, and Chrysler bought that and put it in their trucks. And that's how a lot of it comes to play. So a lot of it is crossover, but for some reason in like the, and I keep hammering on the 80s, but it's just like they were so unique. Everything was like custom built and custom made for like each individual car. Then you try to find service information or like manuals to figure out where all those the spaghetti of vacuum lines go and electrical wires, and there's just no good reference information on where any of that goes. You got to find someone that was around in that time that's seen 100 of them, that knows where it goes. Those guys just don't exist anymore. You know, they either aged out of the industry or they're just no longer with us. And it's really difficult to find good information to get those cars back together. So I don't know. I feel like Jay Leno's doing the right thing. I don't think he's in the industry enough to like sway the legislation to make it make sense, like the common sense behind it. Maybe not target like all of the 90s. Maybe let's just target like the 1980s and like do something for those vehicles in general. Because the cost of those vehicles going to the salvage yard is so much more than just allowing some legislation to pass to allow them to be performance built or revised, right? Good morning, you're on Gearhead Radio.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, what do you got?
You know, I had a Rabbit, Volkswagen Rabbit diesel, got 55 to 60 miles a gallon. And then they came out with a Golf diesel, and it got the same. And then they got caught in not passing smog without cheating. And so then they quit making them. Why did they give up?
For the diesels?
Yeah, the Volkswagen diesel.
Yeah, that's I think that rolls into like what happened with the Dieselgate with Volkswagen, you know, with all that. The one thing they started hammering on with the diesels is the NOx emissions. So even though it got great fuel mileage, it created a lot of NOx emissions, which contributes to the greenhouse gases. So NOx are like a nitrogens and oxides when they get combined together. And they're really only they're made with gasoline cars, but they're really only made with diesel engines. And it's a pollutant or an emissions that's really harmful to the ozone layer. So part of the reason why they got away from that, and then the whole thing with Volkswagen happened with the Dieselgate is because of that. They are okay. You get the power, you just don't get everything. But with those, they had decent power, great fuel economy, but they produced the NOx emissions, and that's where the DEF fluid came in, DEF, to try to counter that.
Okay.
But yeah, great question.
When I lived in Southern California, the NOx emission, I think, is what caused the burning of the eyes in that.
Yeah.
And so there was a brown layer, and you could tell it's really high. But then they got that pretty cleaned up, pretty much in Southern California.
I don't mean to cut you off, but we're on a break, so appreciate the call.
Okay,
thanks, we'll be right back.
Hello everybody, this is Danny from Paso Tile and Stone, where elegance is made affordable. You know, actually, people have told me I miss your commercials. Well, this commercial is a thank you commercial for all the contractors. We have 35 regular contractors that buy from us consistently. Thank you to them. Thank you for the homeowners for all the repeat business. We had a great year last year, an increase of 33%. So thank you for that. How about we celebrate by giving you prefabs for $99? We have tile for 99 cents. We have luxury vinyl for $1.99 to $2.99. We have buy one, get one free slabs. So come on down to our showroom for our tile and slabs, 3850 Ramada. And for luxury vinyl and cabinets, please come to 447 North Main Street, Templeton. Blessings to you and your family. Thank you.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Mars Mega Storage, your state-of-the-art storage solution on the Central Coast. Mars Mega Storage can store your RV, boat, car, household, or commercial items in your own fully enclosed unit or covered storage space. Our on-site amenities include security cameras throughout, gate access from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. with your own personal gate code, 17-foot high steel walls for extra security, fully paved, and a wash rack with professional pressure washer, buckets, brushes, and soap, as well as a dump station, all while providing our guests the highest quality of customer service. We encourage you to come see all the guest features we have to offer. At Mars Mega Storage, we strive to give you the best possible storage experience at the best possible price. Big or small, we store it all. Mars Mega Storage, 101 Wilsona Road in Paso Robles. Call us at 467-3200 or visit marsmega.com.
Keep that vehicle looking its best with the help from Golden Hill Car Wash. Your choice of state-of-the-art Razor touchless wash with ceramic wax and the Ryko Soft Gloss Max 5, both with the latest technology. Plus, Golden Hill Car Wash offers 6 wash bays, including RV, all with spotless rinse. Plus, they've got vacuums for you. Keep it looking its best. Golden Hill Car Wash. Paso Robles.
And welcome back. You are tuned in to Gearhead Radio on AM 1230. Getting down to the end of the show here, last few minutes here. If you have any calls or any questions, feel free to call in 805-238-5775. Hey, if you're looking for something to do today, if you're just tuning in, the Barrel House has the Motorama going on today, big car show. I believe they are sold out to enter your car. You're a little late on that one. I think they're rolling in right now to get staged. And then it opens up at 11 o'clock to the public, to all of us, to everyone. It's kind of weird to say open to the public, open to the community. How's that? They open to the community at 11 o'clock. That's a better way to put it. Trying to be politically correct here. Don't want to offend anybody. Is that possible in the North County? I don't think so, but I'll do it anyway. Anyways. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. Come on every Saturday at 9 a.m. from 9 to 10, bringing you the latest in the auto industry. So get your questions queued up through the week. Give me a call and let's chat about it. So let's see, before the break, where were we? We were talking about Leno's Law, kind of talking about DEF a little bit. You know, I want to jump into that. That was a great kind of conversation starter to bring up, was the DEF and the diesel. Because that's the next thing being changed by California is the DEF emissions. EPA is making some changes. So apparently the feds are fed up with the DEF diesel systems too. You know, and for good cause. We actually this last week had a vehicle towed in that had DEF in the diesel, and that is not an uncommon occurrence. Not only is it catastrophic for the fuel system of that vehicle, it's a very easy thing to, or I don't call it easy, it's very simple to mix up, right? And it's very expensive if you don't catch it right. So if that ever happens, make sure you do not try to start the truck. Just get it towed right away. We were able to get the tank out of this one, get it drained out, get it cleaned out. And luckily, the DEF had not made its way up into the upper part of the fuel system. Because once it does, it corrodes very, very quickly. It's basically water and urea. And you don't want that in the diesel system. Especially the high pressure side. The high pressure fuel pump for a diesel and all the injectors, they're all basically a hydraulic circuit and they run on thousands of pounds of pressure. And so the diesel fuel is designed to lubricate those parts as they're used at that high of pressure. So if you don't have the lubricity of the diesel fuel, and it's bad. It's really bad. It's like running water in your engine if your engine had 10 times the oil pressure that it did. So it's very quickly can damage a lot of components. So that being said, I'll get into this real quick here. So the run of the diesel engine deregulation at the EPA continues. The agency has just released guidance that makes big changes when it comes to the DEF in an effort to make the systems more reliable. The EPA claims that removing the urea quality sensors and replacing them with a new process will save American farmers and truckers over $13 billion annually. Whether this process works, however, is a different question. So keep in mind this DEF stuff that you're having to deal with in your diesel trucks also is what a lot of our American farmers are having to deal with. If you've had to buy a tractor, well, not had to or want to buy a tractor, there's a horsepower rating. Once you're over, I believe it's 45 horsepower. Now, I think the regulation federally is 75 horsepower, but some of them at 45 horsepower or bigger, or is it 35? Not important. Those small farm tractors, not even a farm tractor, call it a garden tractor because it doesn't really do much more than lift, I think, 1,500 pounds. They are required to have the DEF in them as well. There's a particulate filter, and then the next step up is adding the DEF fluid. Now, don't quote me on this. I'm not a tractor salesman. I'm not like super hip into like all the differences and all that. I've driven them and I've seen them. So some of them have to have the particulate filter where every so many hours you have to stop, hit the button, and let the thing idle up for 2 to 3 minutes to burn that SCR out and clean out the catalyst. Some of them you actually have to add DEF to. And I think the DEF starts at 75 horsepower, and then the SCR converter is 45 horsepower to 75 horsepower. Something like that. I know I'm probably off, but it's going to be pretty close for sake of what I'm talking about here. So with that being said, they're being burdened with that as well on the diesel trucks. Now, we had a call before the break talking about, well, they got great gas mileage and had tons of power. And if you remember the Volkswagen Dieselgate, that was an interesting story where they took the TDI, the turbo diesel Volkswagens, and imported them into the States. And everybody was just tickled pink with it because you got great fuel mileage, you had all the power in the world, and supposedly they were super clean. They called it the clean diesel. Well, they were tricking the EPA, right? But like, they had a program they put in there where if the steering wheel was not turned more than 20 degrees, it kept it in a clean running mode. So when they had it on these treadmills in these testing facilities, they ran really clean. As soon as you pull it off the treadmill and turn the wheel more than 20 degrees to pull it out, it would then set into the power and rich mode, and then you'd had all the power in the world. So it tested clean on the dynos, and then it ran great in real world. And they're like, oh, this is the best thing that's ever been done in planet Earth. But it ended up not being that way. Now, diesels produce different types of emissions. Now, gasoline cars also promote them as well, but diesels run a very high compression ratio dynamically. They don't use spark plugs. That was groundbreaking, right? We all know that. Now, they don't use spark plugs because they are compressing that diesel and fuel and that air combination to the point where it self-ignites. That creates a very, very, very hot and very, very high pressure, right? And that creates different chemicals. So what happens is it bonds the nitrogen and the oxygen together and you get NOx, you get NOx emissions, which are a big part of the greenhouse gases. Now, there's carbon monoxide, which is CO, which is the stuff that is very, very bad, that will kill you. And then you have hydrocarbons, which are unburnt fuel that get burnt out the back. Now, the three-way catalytic converter does a good job of reducing hydrocarbons in that first bed, and then the second bed of the catalytic converter, converting the CO, carbon monoxide, with the excess oxygen to get CO2. Now you have CO2, carbon dioxide, which is a lot better. But now they're starting to point a finger at that too, say CO2 is the worst thing in the world now. Well, trees breathe CO2. I don't know. I'm not going to get into the whole debate, but this is just what we're talking about right now. So one of the things that doesn't happen is the nitrogen, because there's a lot of nitrogen in the atmosphere. It gets just kicked back out with a gasoline because it's not a high compression. There are some components that are converted, but for the majority of it, diesels produce the majority of those NOx emissions. Now, using the urea, that goes in there and it deconstructs that chemical makeup. And that's the point of having the urea injectors in there, is it destabilizes that new molecule that's been made and then breaks it back up into its two simple components. So it eliminates that nitrogen oxide. It takes the nitrogen, strips it from the oxygen, and then you don't have that NOx emissions anymore. But as we all know, the deaf is a pain in the butt. You have these plastic containers that comes in a cardboard box. It uses a lot of them. You put it in diesel and it ruins the truck. It makes a mess. It's a lot to it. So they are actively working on that. I know I ran out of time here to get into the rest of that. I guess I should have brought that up earlier. Oh, that's right. Because I got next weekend to get into it. So I'll get into this next weekend. Appreciate you hanging out for today. If you need anything in the meantime, we are open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. Look forward to seeing you. And thank you for all of you that have come in. Have a great weekend and happy Easter. See ya.
Gearhead Radio with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears and Paso Robles on River Road. You can trust Jimmy and his team to take care of you and your vehicle the first time, every time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM. Paso Robles, Tascadero, and Templeton.